child of Jesus, and he lives in me. Yes, he lives in me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and he lives in me. He lives in me. What a joy it is to know my Heavenly Father loves me so and gives to me my Jesus. When he looks on me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Let the breeze of your presence blow, that your children here might truly know how to move in the Spirit's flow. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can you all hear me clearly, brothers and sisters? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. Blessed greetings, all my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, in the glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, it's a great privilege and an honor to stand amidst of you all to speak of the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I welcome all the saints. Once again, I welcome the saints, especially, first of all, saints from England that are now gathered in Suffolk, blessing the name of the Lord from there. All the saints in the room in the house of Brother Alan and Sister Janet. And also, I greet Pastor Kim and all the saints there, and also the pastors, also the brothers and sisters from the United States of America, and also my beloved brothers and sisters from Finland, Sweden, so on. It's a great blessing and an honor to praise and welcome and bless the name of the Lord. And it's good to have a wonderful worship that was just going on, and I really enjoyed the worship. Amen. Today I want to be a bit slow because some of my brothers and from Finland have been requesting me, Danny, you just need to be a bit slow for us to understand. And the Lord has led me to that, and I will do as the Lord leads. Amen. Hallelujah. Before we enter into the word, I just want to mention a few things. I just want to make a report of a few things. This morning, as I got up in the morning, the first, even it was 5 o'clock, and before I picked up my phone, and the first thing I heard was, Danny, some churches, some houses are burnt. That's what the first thing I heard. At once, took my dad, me, myself, my dad, we just ran there, and the tops were burned. One woman was cooking up her food in the house. Normally we have the roofs that are made up of leaves. So one woman was cooking, and suddenly she forgot the cooking, and she went back to sleep, and suddenly everything got burnt, and that lit the fire to the next houses. Thank God and praise Jesus Christ. He has saved so many people's lives. About 4 houses were burned and the people were saved, though the utensils and everything got burned, but people were saved by God's grace. And another thing I want to share is, please do keep in prayer for one of the brother in Christ. Actually, he went for work with some, he went for working with some of our Hindu brothers. And it happened that during the work, whitewashing walls, suddenly there came a topic about God, and suddenly they started speaking about their idols, and this brother spoke about Jesus Christ. This brother said Jesus is the living God, and he said Jesus is the way, truth and life. The moment the work got over, after the work, they took this man, this brother, the 17 years old brother, a young brother, they took him to a bush, they took him to the bush and they tied him to a tree and they bet him, literally. When they bet him, his both legs got damaged and broke. So please do pray for that, and pray for God's healing on that brother. We are praying for that brother, and please do pray for God should heal that brother in a miraculous way. That's so wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. He still says, and he's praising God. He's still happy about what has happened, and he feels so blessed, and we are glad to pray for him. Amen. So today we're going to meditate on a special topic, what the Lord has put in my heart, and we're going to meditate on the sevens of the Bible, on the sevens of the Bible, and this is called the number seven. We all know the digit seven, and we are very familiar with this digit seven. We see different kinds of numbers being mentioned in the Bible, and out of which seven also takes more attention among all these chapters and all these scripture portions. Whenever we go through, we see seven, we see 12, we see the number 40. We see these numbers taking a part in the ministry of Jesus Christ and also the ministry in the Old Covenant. Well, friends, we are no more under the Old Covenant, but we are under the New Covenant. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are under His grace. Amen. So when we see the word, we see everywhere, we see clearly the number seven is mentioned. I just want to quote a few verses where it indicates. We all know about that 40 days, 40 nights. We all know about the 12 disciples and everything. But I just want to today completely depend on this number seven. Well, don't ever think this man is talking about numbers, so he's going to speak about numerology. Come on, no. Nothing like that. We are only going to speak what the Word of God says, and we are not going to speak anything out of the Word of God, and we're going to meditate on it, and we're going to ask God to bring that fulfillment in our lives. The seven, the number seven stands for perfection, according to the Word of God. It stands for perfection. It's a perfect digit. Let's read, first of all, from Genesis chapter 35 and verse 27. I'm going to paste the scripture portions because I think I have to do it myself today. First of all, from the book of Genesis. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's read. Let's get back to the book of Genesis. Yes, let's start from Exodus chapter 25 and verse 37. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 37. And thou shalt make seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. Amen. Glory be to God. Some of the things that were told to the children of Israel by God to be brought into the tabernacle, before His presence, into the place of worship. So He said, thou shalt make seven lamps in order to prepare the tabernacle, in order to prepare the temple of God, in order to prepare something for the Lord Himself. He said, make seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, and they may give light over against it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. These are the words spoken to the children of Israel in order what should be there in the presence of God. It indicated seven lamps. Saint of God, today you and I are the light of God. You and I are the lights of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Jesus is lighting every one of us. Jesus is lighting each and every one of us in order to light others. Amen. If I say that, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If He said, I am the light of the world, I should be lighting everybody because I'm enlightened by God's word. God's word has enlightened me, and God's word has lightened my life. Once I was in darkness, but now I'm in the glorious light of Jesus Christ. In this light, I light everybody. But now He's talking something special here. He's telling seven lamps that can lay light. We always read this number seven stands for perfection. This number seven stands for a complete, a divine unity in God's word. When we read the book of Deuteronomy, also we see this, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 25. If you all have pens, papers, you can just write it down if you want to. Yes, thank you, Jesus. The Lord shall cause thee to smitten before the enemies, and thou shalt go out on a way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all seven kingdoms of the earth. Every time God spoke something, he divided in his word into two different dimensions. The seven in one place represented destruction, seven in the other place represented the blessing. Seven in one place represented, the digit seven in one place represented a destruction. Seven in another place represented a blessing from God. So we see God using this digit in different dimensions. But the end, we can see whatever is done with this digit comes to a completeness, comes to a perfection, comes to an end where the work is completely completed. God created the world in 7 days. On the seventh day he said, I shall rest. So every time the digit seven comes, we understand God is going to complete it on the seventh day. 7 days they went around Jericho, and we see what happened. Yes, let's read. We see what happens the next moment, what happened and the change that has taken place. When we read in Job chapter 5 and verse 19, God was speaking to Job. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, and in seven they shall be no evil touch thee. Seventh time no evil will touch you. God was telling, God was speaking to Job, I will deliver you six times, on the seventh time no evil shall touch you, or no evil shall befall on your way. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see all these places this digit seven is being used. One, either to complete, another way to destroy. So God uses in different ways. When you read in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 16, the Bible says, a sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Hallelujah. There are seven people that can stand united as one and give a strong reason than a sluggard that's sleeping. He will give his lame excuses. That's what it means. When you read in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1, Isaiah 4 and verse 1, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name and take away our reproach. Hallelujah. Here we see again seven women. Who are these seven women? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This chapter of Isaiah chapter 4 speaks a deeper revelation of God's word. It speaks a deeper revelation. The bride is making herself ready. We all know that clearly. We all are getting ready. Here it says, on that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name. Glory be to God. So seven people fighting for one name. Glory to Jesus. When we read in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 15, the Bible says, well, I'm just quoting these verses just not to bore you up. The message will slowly take a shape. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 15, and the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind he shall shake his hand over the river and shall smite it in seven streams and make men go over a dry shod. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the Lord is paving a way by destroying the enemy and by using seven streams the Lord is creating a dry land for His children to move away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, that's in the old covenant. Let's see in the new covenant. Let's read Mark. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. When we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, in speaks about in Revelation seven different things. And turn to see a voice that spake unto me to bring, and turn I saw seven golden candlesticks. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, this is what it says. And I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne of four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. It had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, seven spirits. God sent forth all the earth. Hallelujah. When we read in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 2, this is what the Bible says. So everywhere we go through and everywhere we read, we still read about seven churches, seven angels, seven spirits, seven lampstands, and we read about seven thunders that occurred, seven thunders, in different sorts, different kinds of ways. God is coding out things. So everywhere we read, this digit seven is coded, and seven stands for perfection. So today God wants you and me to be complete, dear saint of God, dear brother and sister. What we understand by this is, whatever God does, He completes it, and He brings it to a perfection. Amen. When you are according to God's will, when you walk according to God's will, when you are in the perfect will of God, the work will surely one day be completed, and you will be completely perfected. Today, if you give place to the Spirit of God in your life, if you give place for the Holy Spirit to start leading you in your life, and when you come to the end of yourself and crucify yourself and give everything to Jesus in your life, the one that has called you will surely finish the work with you, because you are predestined by God to reach unto the perfection. So this digit is completing. So you and I need to walk seven steps in the walk of Christian life. You and I need to move seven steps in everything that we do, go to go ahead and to attain the perfection that God really wants you and me to have today. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, before we understand this seven completely, I want to bring out what this seven really means. I just said it means perfection. What is this perfection? I'm going to build a house. I can't leave it in between. I start building a house. I just don't say, I just lay a foundation. I just keep two bricks and I say, come on, the work is over. I don't want to do it anymore. I won't say that. The two bricks that I just laid as a foundation will not look like a house because it's only two bricks. I cannot lay two bricks and call everybody, see, I've constructed a house, how beautiful it looks. It looks incomplete. It doesn't look completely full. It doesn't look completely built because it is incomplete. God will always complete His work. God will always bring His work into perfection. Today, my saint, today, my brother, today, my sister, are you in the Lord today? Where are you standing? Which point are you standing at? Are you walking in the steps of Jesus Christ, attaining a perfection, or are you walking backwards where you will have another seven ways to be completely destroyed and the Lord will complete His work? Hallelujah. We all know there's going to be a 7 years of feast in heaven and a 7 years of tribulation on earth. Hallelujah. What are you waiting for today? In the presence of God, what are you looking for today? Am I looking for temporal needs or spiritual needs? Am I looking for something that God has planned for me according to His predestination? Am I really giving myself to the Holy Spirit? Is the Spirit of God leading me in such a way that I'm preparing myself to attain completely to the point or to the peak where God wants me to? Hallelujah. So, I want to mention 3 points today. There are lots and lots of things to be learned in this, but I just want to mention 3 points and distinguish each point into 7. Yes, hallelujah. Number one, 7 attitudes of spiritual life. 7 attitudes of spiritual life. 7. First of all, I said it is a number of perfection. So if God has started something to you, He's going to complete it. And if you're not going to walk according to the perfect will of God, if you're not going to give yourself into the Master's hands, well, leave it. You are going to design your life in the way of destruction. 7 steps are there. You are going to go there. Before going off into, you won't directly go into hell, because we will just even have the 7 years of tribulation and we will face the plagues that are said in the Word of God. So I don't want to bring that into action now. 7 attitudes of spiritual life. Number one. Let's read Psalm 23, the first attitude of spiritual life. Psalm 23 and verse 2. Psalm 23 and verse 2. We all know this psalm, and this is a common psalm, and everybody must have read this psalm. Hallelujah. But still, I'm going to paste the scripture portion for you all. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 23 and verse 2. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Hallelujah. Number one, the first attitude of spiritual life is lying down for spiritual rest. Lying down for spiritual rest. Hallelujah. Lying down for spiritual rest. So many brothers and sisters don't have spiritual rest. Don't know. They want to grow up spiritually very well. They want to grow up very wonderfully into greater heights. They have a great desire. They have a great zeal for the Lord. And their desire is to grow in such a way that, you know, when they pray, they are going to touch heaven. When they pray, they are going to bind everything, and that's going to be born. That's their desire. That's their desire. Well, desire designs one's destiny, but there are also people with blind desires. If I have a desire, I need to go to a person who will fulfill that desire. I need to see someone where my desire will be fulfilled. If I want to buy a pen, I can't go to a milk shop and tell me, can you give me a pen? I have to go to a shop where they sell milk, and I have to ask for milk. I cannot go into a shop where they sell pens and ask them, can I have a packet of milk? So I need to realize where I need to go. This is where we learn something very much important, and that is called spiritually being receptive. And that is the reason we need Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When we have the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, the Spirit of God leads us in such a way where we have to go. Hallelujah. He makes me lie down, glory to God, in green pastures. Lying down in green pastures. Why do we lie down? Lie down for rest. Restless lives. Very busy, brother. What to do? Busy with my work, busy in the office, busy with my family. What can I do? You know, before getting children in their lives, what they say is, oh Lord, I want children. Everybody are calling me a barren woman. God, I want children. My wife, everybody is teasing her. We don't have kids. We want children, Lord. That's what they pray. The moment they get children, you know what they say the next moment? Oh, not able to tolerate with these children, you know. I don't have rest at all. That when they consider themselves, they really don't have rest. It's because they don't rest in the hands of the Master. Hallelujah. When they have a need, they come to Jesus. But when the need is fulfilled, and when they feel, you know, they need their burden, and then when they need somebody to carry them, they don't look to Him. Hallelujah. They want to carry themselves. They want to walk themselves. They want to see themselves. They want to do things by themselves. Today, God is talking something special to us. We need to lie down for spiritual rest. And the spiritual rest is only given. Today, so many people are without spiritual rest. They pray, and at once, where is the reply? Where is the reply? Where is the reply? Where is the reply? Come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. Once you told something to Jesus, you have to wait for him to answer. You need to rest. Always, every time I open my mouth, do this, Jesus. Do that, Jesus. Do this, Jesus. Do that, Jesus. You're going to move like this, Jesus. You're going to move like that, Jesus. Oh, keep speaking and speaking, rather not waiting. Your silence, your rest brings an answer. Glory be to God. Don't simply speak to God, but allow God to speak to you. Don't simply keep speaking and speaking and speaking, but wait for God, what his response is going to be. You want a ready-made answer? You want a ready-made answer, like, you know what to say? You put something in an oven and you want it to be cooked in 5 minutes or so, and you open the oven, it's uncooked, because you have to wait. You have to wait until something is done. Glory be to God. And that rest is only given to you by the Lord, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want anything. Today, are you able to stay spiritually at rest? Oh man, this pastor is praying for me. This doesn't work out. That pastor is praying for me. That doesn't work out. She prays for me. That doesn't work out. Oh, like this. They go jump and jump and jump because they're spiritually unstable. They are not at rest. The rest is given to you only by the Master. Amen. Jesus is not a taskmaster, my friend. He's a tender master. Who is the taskmaster? He that treats you like a slave is a taskmaster. Jesus is a tender master. He's saying in Matthew 11 and verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all you weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest." So, are you spiritually able to rest, my brother, my sister? Are you spiritually able to rest? Are you really waiting for the Master to respond all your supplications? You have told something to God, your ideas, but you should wait for what God's will in that position is. You have to wait where your Master is leading you. Don't so many people today collapse their minds and simply say, God doesn't love me, God doesn't answer my prayers, he doesn't want me, he doesn't look unto me, he doesn't know what I'm going through. My friend, my brother, my sister, nothing can take God by a surprise. Nothing. Nothing that happens can take God by a surprise. He is on the throne, and he is on the throne, and he's watching everything. Glory be to God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 15, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch over the evil and over the good." Hallelujah. So today God is looking at you and God is looking at me. So the first thing is, am I able to lie down spiritually? Spiritually rest. Today everybody needs rest. There is no rest. There's no peace of mind. On the other week I said, mind is jumping like a monkey from tree to tree, not able to stand. I said, this church, you know, there is spirituality. People pray, but there are no works. Nothing is happening in this church. Not this church. Let me try another church. Oh, come on, not this church. Let me try another church. Because it's like, you know what to say, their mind is not stable. They are not able to completely focus on God, but they're focused on their circumstances. They're focused on everything that's happening around. That's the reason they don't have rest. The Lord is telling, I want to make you spiritually rest. I want you to rest spiritually. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus. Imagine a thief. He goes and steals something somewhere and just comes back. You would see he would never sleep. Think about you having 100 crores or some thousands and thousands of millions of dollars in your house. Your mind will be always on the locker. Your mind will not be sleeping. You cannot sleep, you know, because you know why? Who is going to come and steal that money? Who might come and open up the locker? Oh, my mind, I'm sleeping, but my mind is completely there. I don't have rest. I don't have peace of mind. Completely relying on the Lord is very much important. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all your anxiety upon him. Cast all your anxiety. No matter what it is, no matter how big it is, no matter what it cannot be faced, if you're really in the hands of the Master, if you're filled by the Spirit of God, you will surely spiritually lie down and rest. If you're not spiritually lying down and resting in the Lord, that means you don't have the spirit, but means you have an evil spirit leading you. That means you don't have the spirit of God, but that means you're led by your emotions and your thoughts. If you don't have a rest, that means you're lacking something, my brother. You're lacking something, my sister. You need to spiritually have a rest, lying down, glory. And if there is not happening like that, there is something wrong with you. There's something going on wrong. So you need to check up with that. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The second attitude of spiritual life. Glory be to God. Second attitude. Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. Glory Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. This is what the Bible says in Luke 10:39. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Hallelujah. Number two. Or the second attitude, or the second attitude of growing a spiritual life is sitting. First one is lying down for rest. Number two is sitting for instruction. Glory be to God. Sitting down for instruction. There are so many channels coming up on TVs, televisions. There are so many things that are coming up. Every time you open a channel, you see something happening. You see so many people speaking out, so many rooms on Pal Talk. You go into any room, you see somebody speaking something, lots of channels. And you need to understand, you need an attitude to sit down, sitting down for instruction. You know, if somebody is instructing me to go for a war, he would surely tell me, how should I get prepared to get to a war? Today, you and I are sitting in the presence of God to be instructed. So your attitude, or the attitude of spiritual life, is sitting for instruction. Today, am I able to sit for wait for the Lord to lead me? What is the next step that I need to take? I cannot just go like a baby, just take up the sword and go for a battle. The children of Israel knew only one thing. They knew when they were in Egypt, they knew only to make bricks. They didn't know any other job. They didn't know what to do. They don't have any other job. All they knew were to make bricks. But you know, God used them to inherit Canaan. Inherit Canaan, because they were to sit down and listen to what God says. Few weeks ago, I was speaking about breaking to be a blessing. And I was telling all the 5,000 people, men and women and children, were asked to sit down and wait for instruction. Look with an expectation. Glory be to God. So are you really able to sit before the Lord? Here we see, and she had a sister called Mary, which sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word, sitting for instruction. If I don't have an instruction how to go, I can never go. Today Jesus has already given us an instruction, my friend. So, but people are changing his instructions as their own instructions, and they're motivating and they're creating instructions. Who is your instructor? Who? The Holy Spirit is your leader, and the Bible is your instructor. When the Holy Spirit leads you, you keep reading the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit shows you the right path, and you keep walking. The Bible says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Hallelujah. Today, so many are not able to get instructed from the Lord. They would listen to anything anybody says. They would go anywhere what people says. They just keep moving and moving and moving. They don't have stability. They cannot really be receptive. It is because they don't wait to listen the truth. They don't want to listen to truth. What they saw is right. What they want to say is right. They don't really want to listen to anybody else. They keep arguing. When you have the Holy Spirit, when you have Jesus in your life, all you need to do is pray and wait on the Word of God. The Bible says, when Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. When Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. And what is this power going to do in your life? This power is going to teach you that there will not be any need of anybody else to teach you. Today, so many people are being misled. going into wrong paths because they don't have the same spirit that Christ had. The same spirit that rose Christ from dead is required for you and for me today, my brother and my sister, in order to instruct us. We need to listen to the Spirit of God, and we do not simply go on our motives, on our thoughts, on our emotions, on the way we want to walk, but we need to wait for the instruction. Today you are being prepared for the spiritual warfare. You don't fight against flesh and blood, but you fight against the spirit, the kingdom of darkness. In order to overcome the kingdom of darkness, you need to be instructed fully. You need the breastplate of faith, or you need to get prepared. You need to take up the sword of faith. You need to make yourself completely ready. Glory to God. You need a salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be completely made ready in order to go for the war. Think, if you have something, if you miss some valuable weapon, what is going to happen? If you miss something, for some valuable armor, what is going to happen? You will not. The enemy always waits for gaps to hurt you. That is the reason we need to hear instruction. I think Mary knew the Word of God very well. She knew the Old Covenant very well. She realized only sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and listening to His instruction can make a way to eternity. She realized only sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and really receiving the Word of God alone can make her inherit the kingdom of God. That's the reason Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and was taking instructions. If there is nobody to instruct you today, if the Holy Spirit is not instructing you, my friend, you will never have a spiritual life that is really fruitful. You need to always be sitting in the presence of God to listen the way the Lord is instructing you, not the way you want to walk, not the way you like to take. That is the reason. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The seven attitudes of spiritual life. So the first attitude is lying down for spiritual rest. The second attitude is sitting down for instruction. Third one is, let's read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stand therefore, having a lion's grit about with truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Number three, standing for spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. We sit for instruction, we stand for spiritual warfare. So when we stand, we need to have a lion's grit about with truth and having a breastplate of righteousness. Jesus said, I am righteous, so ye be righteous. If I'm not righteous, even if I stand and, you know, if I keep speaking, nobody would listen to you. Nobody would listen to me. God is leading us into perfection. He's leading us into righteousness. He said, so ye be righteous because I am righteous. That's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, you be righteous, but I am not. But he said, I am righteous. That's the reason I want you to be righteous. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. My friend, my brother, my sister, are you able to stand with for spiritual warfare boldly? Are you able to stand? Oh, today so many churches we see, they don't have spiritual warfare. They don't get together and they don't get to pray. They don't get to pray in tongues and praying in the Holy Spirit and asking God's presence to come down and touch and move. They don't have that. They all simply, like, you know what I say? They just have an idea. The believers are attending the church, they're giving offerings, they're going back, that's enough. Once in a while, pastor goes and does a house visiting, finish, that's over. They don't have a proper fellowship where the one body can move and shake. When Peter was in prison, what happened? They were all, the church prayed, the church was in warfare, everybody got together, they stood. Nobody said, hey, that man went to prison, why should we be in this church anymore? Let's go away, let's leave. Let's leave that man and go away. They didn't say that. They all stood in spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. When they stood in spiritual warfare, the prison gates opened. So standing in spiritual warfare is very much important. Warring against the powers of darkness. Warring against the things that are coming against us. Things that are trying to put down the children of God. Warring against that. So are you really having this breastplate of righteousness and the lion's grit? Glory be to God. Well, I'm not just talking to you about the spiritual warfare, but you need to stand. In order to stand, you need the Word of God, and you need the Spirit of God, which are very much important to lead you. Glory be to God. So if you and I today have to be completely with a good attitude, with a spiritual attitude and a spiritual life, we need the standing for spiritual warfare. How many of them are really able to do the spiritual warfare? How many of them are standing united to get into spiritual warfare? And how many of them are able to see the great things of God happening? If I don't see fruit in what I do, that means there is something wrong with me. There's something going wrong. If I pray, surely God will talk to me. If I pray, surely God will give me an indication. When God can show it to the people in the old covenant, when God can show it to the people in the new covenant, God can also show it to the people that are there, that are preparing themselves for the coming king. Glory be to God. Today you want to see something in your life. Do you want to see the move of God in your life? Are you able to stand? You're not able to stand. You know why? You're not able to overcome. Christ is preparing overcomers. You and I are called to be overcomer. You need to stand boldly and say, I am spotless. Oh, I'm a bride that is spotless, prepared for the coming king. I'm a bride that does not have any spot in my life. That's how we need to stand. Then that is when Jesus will look at you and say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. This is my bride that is spotless, as white as snow. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is what we have to come to the place. Hallelujah. My dear brothers, my dear sisters, where are you standing today? Are you able to stand spiritually, or are you sleeping spiritually? Wake up. The Lord wants you to stand. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is going to come very, very shortly. And he's at the door knocking. And are you completely matured? Is the bride making herself ready and standing in spiritual warfare? It's very much important. We are fighting against the powers of darkness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the next thing, the fourth thing, let's read. First John chapter 1 and verse 7. First John chapter 1 and verse 7. Thank you, Jesus. First John chapter 1 and verse 7. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Yes. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, one with another. By the blood of Jesus Christ, his son cleanseth us from all sins. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Fourthly, the fourth attitude for spiritual life is walking for fellowship. Walking for fellowship. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins. Glory be to God. Walking for fellowship. Thank you, Jesus. What is fellowship? That is very much important to understand. The Collins English Dictionary states, when we read about the term fellowship, it says fellowship thank you Jesus praise you Jesus a fellowship is a group of people that join together for same purpose or same interest. Group of people join together with the same purpose or same interest. But in a Christian fellowship between brothers and sisters, we are together as one for the same reason. I believe everybody has come into this room, and everybody that belongs to Jesus has only one reason. The one reason is you and I are striving to go to inherit the kingdom of God. There is no other reason. You cannot say, I'm fighting to attain something here on earth, I'm fighting to attain something there in that village. Not that. Everybody has same thing. Everybody has the same destiny. We all are here as a remnant of God, sitting in His presence and listening to the Word, because you are sitting and being instructed to walk in the light. Amen. Because He is in the light. So that when we walk in the light, everybody that sees you, every brother, every sister that sees you, should also come into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. How many of them are able to see the light that the Lord has given you in your life today? How many of you are able to walk in the light of God? Am I able to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? Walking for fellowship. Today there are lots of fellowships. People fellowship together to plot and to kill. People fellowship together to bring a false doctrine. People fellowship together to gossip about others. People fellowship together to change and to bring a change. What kind of fellowship do you belong to? Do you belong to the fellowship of Jesus Christ? Are you striving to a place where you get a real good fellowship, where the saints intercede for one another, where saints have a spiritual warfare? Where are you into a fellowship where the whole body is under function, where every believer, every brother, every sister in the body realizes their place in the church? It is not one man ruling over the whole church. It's not one man trying to just rule everything. But are you into a fellowship where everybody has a part to play, where every brother and every sister are getting involved and able to be a partakers, not only in the body of Christ, but also the partakers of proclaiming the end time message of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. My brother, my sister, where are you walking today? The way is before you today. The Lord is putting a way before you. Are you walking into a place where you see a mega church where lots of people are there, but there is no presence of God? Today, you know, so many people go to different kinds of churches. I don't like this church, man. There's no good band, you know. I don't want to attend this church. There's no good guitarist. I don't like this church. Look at that church. Oh, the church is very sophisticated. They have a display on every seat. They give us a headphones. We can listen and we can also watch the display on every seat. It looks like an aeroplane where we have a display on every seat. Oh, that church is very beautiful. Don't go to the church or don't get into a fellowship just looking at the outward appearance. Today the Lord is raising quality Christians. He does not want quantity Christians. He does not want you to walk in where there are quantity of Christians. He is wanting you to test where the quality is. Hallelujah. You and I are prepared by the Lord to be quality Christians. Hallelujah. Oh man, the church is boring. You know, they proclaim the name of Jesus. I don't like it. They baptize in Jesus' name. I don't like it. You know, that's false. They are false prophets. I don't want to attend the church. Hey man, they're only a group of 10 people or 20 people or 25 people. I don't want to get into the church. I want to go to a big church. The church should have its wall from London, the church should have its wall from London to the United States of America. I want such a big church. I want a church where I will give offerings and where they read my name so loudly and everybody can hear it. I have given that much to the Lord. I want a church where my pride will come out and everybody will realize and recognize me. Are you into any fellowship like that? Be careful. Walk into a fellowship. If you want to be fruitful, my friend, if you want to be fruitful, my sister, if you want to be fruitful, my brother, walk into a fellowship where there Jesus Christ alone is glorified, where the whole body is under function, where everybody is the partakers of the body of Christ, where everybody is able to stand and get into spiritual warfare, and where you have good care about your soul. Hallelujah. About where you move. So my brothers and sisters, it is very much needed to understand walking for fellowship. Hallelujah. Fifthly, if you read Hebrews 12:1, the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. A very important thing is told here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that God has set before us. Hallelujah. The fifth attitude of spiritual life among the seven is running for progress. Running for progress. Hallelujah. Today, I shouldn't be an idle Christian, or I shouldn't be a man that sits in the same place. I should move. We see the buildings that are constructed stay in the same place. But you are not a building, you are not a robot. You have to run to progress. Progress is very much important. You have to every time test your spiritual life. That's very much important. How am I grown this year in the Lord? How far have I grown in the Lord this year? Where is my place in the Lord this year? Last year, I was sitting on the last seat in the church. Where am I this year in the church? Am I in the same place or am I growing up? It's not the matter. You can sit anywhere in the church, but you need a progress in your spiritual life. Last year when I came, I didn't feel the Spirit of God. But what happened this year? Am I able to see a progress in my life or am I still idle in the same place? My dear friend, God wants you to come into the place of perfection. Seeing also that you have come past about so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and also be careful of the sin that entangles us, and let us be patient in the race that is set before us. So every time we are in the house of God, we need to test our progress. How am I? Am I able to grow up? How can one grow up? By having the meat of the word. Hallelujah. You cannot grow up in a church where, you know what to say, every time you're sick, the pastor wants to lay hand on your head and pray and say, in Jesus' name, your sickness is healed. You cannot grow up in a place where, you know, an evangelist comes up and tells, hey, everybody sit together, I'm there, I will pray and you will get healed. That is not the thing. That is called bottle feeding or spoon feeding. So that is the way they feed people. They don't really allow the children of God to get closer and have intimacy. The old covenant is broken, my friend. In the old covenant, every single thing that you have, you need to go and tell the pastor, and the pastor or the priest, and the priest has to go and tell God, and then there you get a response. But God has changed everything. God has changed everything. He has set free. The most holy place is torn. The death of Jesus Christ tore the curtain of the most holy place and opened everything for you, so that you will be able to see into the Holy of Holies, and where you will be able to talk to God openly. Hallelujah. The God that speaks to your pastor speaks to you. The God that speaks to your evangelist speaks to you. Jesus said, I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh in the last days. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, my spirit shall be poured out on all the brothers and all the sisters. There is no distinguishing. There is no difference from between anybody. Everybody will be filled with the spirit. Young men shall see visions. Young women shall prophesy. Old shall dream dreams. That's what the Bible said. Hallelujah. My dear brother, my dear sister, are you able to come into the point of experience where you are able to walk in the walk of your faith with Jesus Christ? Are you able to move step by step? Are you able to, you know, you're a tree in the garden of Jesus Christ. Are you able to bear fruits every fruit a month? Are you able to bear 12 fruits a year in the 12 months? Are you able to grow? Where is your progress? Hallelujah. What happened to that man with the one talent that buried? He didn't use it. He left it idle. What happened? This is what is happening. That's what will happen to you or to us. The Lord has blessed you, my brother. The Lord has blessed you, my sister. He needs you today. He needs me today. I need to progress. So my attitude will always be keeping walking. My focus will always telling me progress. I need progress in my life. Glory be to God. Running for progress. I won't stand. Oh, I have today, this year, God has given me a fruit of love. I will run for the fruit of peace. The next year, the God has given me a fruit of peace. I will run for another fruit. I will keep running and running. The more and more and more and more I want to grow, I never want to stop in this race. I want to one day start stand and share, shout and say, I have fought a good fight and I've finished the race. Amen. Hallelujah. You and I need to stand at that point and maybe you can say, I have fought a good fight and I've finished the race, my friend. Are you able to stand at that point and say, are you able to progress in your life? Where is your progress today? Where are you able to progress? Well, some people might say, oh, it's not like that. You know, I'm very much progressed. Well, you might not progress. in buying houses and lands, or so on and on. But your spiritual life must always progress. Your spiritual life must always grow. You should always grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You should never be like a baby. When you are a baby, you speak like a baby. When you grow up, you speak like a grown-up man. Glory be to God. So when you were a baby, you were fed with milk. But now you are grown up in the Lord, you are fed with the meat of the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When you are a new Christian, God might have showed you so many miracles and you have seen so many wonders. But now you are not able to see miracles in your life. Don't say, oh, this church is not working anymore. The power is gone. Don't say that. What are you? What have you been? Are you really a spirit-living Christian? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? This is where you need to test yourself. Hallelujah. So my brother, my sister, your attitude is always, your spiritual attitude for your spiritual growth is, you will always run towards progress. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And sixth thing is Acts of Apostles, chapter 3 and verse 8. The sixth attitude is found in Acts of Apostles, chapter 3 and verse 8. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise you. This is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple. Walking and leap is leaping with joy. The sixth attitude is leaping with joy. Again, I repeat it. The first attitude, out of the seven attitudes of the spiritual life, the first attitude is lying down for spiritual rest, sitting down for instruction, standing up for spiritual warfare, walking for fellowship, running for progress, leaping with joy. Hallelujah. Leaping with joy. Hallelujah. Why do we need to leap with joy today? Why do we need joy? We believe in Jesus Christ. We love the Lord. We see when we have problems, when we have troubles and temptations, we say, thank you, Lord, for this problem in my life. Thank you, Lord, for crucifying me every day. Thank you, Lord, for making me a new man every day. We say that. But what we do is we keep the dumb face. Today we see people make things very obvious. When they fast, they want everybody to see them. They keep their face so dumb and so low as though their eyes went inside. And this, they keep this. When every day they used to speak, hi Danny, oh yes, how are you? And the next time when you speak, when he's fasting, hi Danny, hi, what happened? So the people change, they make things obvious. They want people to realize where they are, at what point they are. But in your spiritual life, you need to always leap with joy, no matter whatever it is. Hallelujah, praise be to God. Sometimes you know we are human beings, the enemy tries to attack us. We know that we serve a living God. We need to leap with joy. Hallelujah. Leaping with joy is very much important. We can call that word in another word, leaping with ecstasy. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Leaping with joy. What did Paul and Silas do when they were in prison? Were they crying in the prison? They were sitting and singing songs. Same thing happened. They came and said, silver or gold, well, we have none. What we have, we give it unto you in the name of Jesus. Rise up, take your bed and walk. And he leaping up stood, walking, entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. No matter what is taking place in your life, my brother, no matter what is taking place in your life, my sister, you should always leap with joy. Your attitude towards every situation will always show the gladness of God that has given you. Amen. You might feel sad sometimes. You might feel upset sometimes. But still, when you are in the presence of God among your fellow brethren, you will never show your face in such a way that others fall down. If one is coming to the church every day, dumb-faced, what would other think? What happened? I don't want to be a stumbling block for my fellow brethren who is a new Christian to go down because of my dumb face. No matter what I face, I will always look at him and smile and leap with joy, because I know the God whom I serve will surely raise me up from whatever point I am. from whatever suffering I have in my life, because I know my God whom I serve will surely restore my life. My dear brother, my dear sister, my dear saint of God, where are you standing today? Are you really standing at a point where you're able to leap with joy, or you're able to simply sit and cry and cry and cry? How long will you cry? What will you cry over? When a person dies, normally the truth is we should be very happy, because he's been redeemed from sin. He's been redeemed from everything. But many people, you know, we just simply cry over years after years. There were days I had to see, at what one single day, I had to bury 10 bodies. I had to bury 4 orphans and about 5 widows at the same time, 6 widows at the same time. When we did that, it was raining. My father was literally heartbroken. I was literally heartbroken. But at the end of the day, those kind of experiences, those kinds of breaking taught us a lesson. You know, taught us something. It became something very common to us. Every week or every 2 weeks once, we have a funeral. But I don't say that we don't have a heart or we became hard-hearted. But what I say is, no matter what it is, leap with joy, because you know why? You know, all things work together for good for those who love God. Hallelujah. All things work together for good for those who love God. Thank you, Jesus. So everything that is happening in your life is leading you into a place where something good is going to come out of that, my brother. Where something good is going to come out of that, my sister. So praise God for everything. Leap with joy. Though you might be in prison, though you might be in bondage, though you might be in some place where you're not able to come out, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord to help you. Leap with joy. You will be surely blessed. Hallelujah. Leaping with joy is a sixth attitude of spiritual life. And the seventh attitude, let's see. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 31. I'll paste the verse for you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this joy. Glory. Jeremiah, Isaiah 31:40. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. The last verse of the chapter, verse 31, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. This is what the Bible says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up their wings like eagles, and they shall run and not weary. Amen. Hallelujah. And at the bottom it says, just a minute, I think I missed a little bit. And they shall walk and shall not faint. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. They will walk, but they will not faint. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. The seventh attitude of spiritual life is mounting up for exaltation. Mounting up for exaltation. My dear brother and my sister, when you and I will be exalted, today we sing a song, He is exalted, forever exalted on high. But one day you are also going to be exalted by the Lord. When the book of life opens, when the book of life opens wide, and the book of life, when it's opened, everything is going to be read out. The goats on one side, the sheep on the other side. Everything is going to be separated. The weeds are going to be removed. Hallelujah. So at that moment of time, at that point, here we see the Word of God says, you have to always mount up for exaltation. You should mount up. Every time God is exalting you, try to humble yourself before God. And the more, the Bible says the opposite. The more you humble yourself, the more exalted you become. The more you go down in the Lord, the more higher the Lord takes you. Glory be to God. Humble yourself so that He'll lift you up in due time. Humble yourself before the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Glory to God. So, mounting up exaltation. Every time, you should always seek the Lord. You should always wait. Lord, I don't want to be exalted on earth. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I want to be exalted in heaven. I always say, my dear friends, whatever is considered to be the greatest on earth shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. Whatever is considered to be the least on earth shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. So my friend, if you consider the Lord is exalting you, you should always be spiritually exalted. You should always wait for your spiritual exaltation, not your bodily exaltation, not your physical exaltation. So many people want to exalt themselves. They do all sorts of things for their bodies. They want to somehow look something different. They want to look something, oh, where people would praise them, where people tell, oh, there is nobody so handsome like that. There is nobody so beautiful like that. They want to exalt themselves. God, here I'm talking to you all about a spiritual exaltation that God wants to give you all. I'm talking about something very spiritual tonight. God wants to exalt you, my brother. God wants to exalt you, my sister. God is requiring, and God wants to take you to the place where He's going to exalt you, and you're going to mount up. Your blessings are going to be mounted up. Mount up with exaltation. Hallelujah. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Look at that exalting. Hallelujah. What a privilege. How much you must have been exalted by calling Him Abba, Father. Look at that. You were once lost. You were nobody in the world. You were once lost. But by His salvation, by tearing the curtain, or by tearing everything up, by opening up the most holy place, He's again telling you, you're my son. I have bought you with a price, and that's the blood. Hallelujah. So you have a privilege now to call Him Abba, Father. That means you're calling Him Father, and you have the same genes. You have the same heredity as your father. So you're going to be exalted. Whose son are you? I should proudly say, exaltedly say, I'm the son of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whose daughter are you? I'm the daughter of the King. I cannot say, my mother is so and so, my father is so and so. Well, yeah, your mother might be Tata Birla, your father might be Bill Gates, whatever it is. At the end of the day, who is my father? The father that purchased me with His blood. The father that shed blood for me. The father that gave His life for me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The father that was bruised for me, He was wounded for my transgressions, and again He joined me and He said, this is my son and this is my daughter. Hallelujah. My dear brother, my dear sister, where are we standing today? Are we really in a point where God is able to exalt you, where you're mounting up into exaltation? You always want to be spiritually exalted. You always want to be spiritually lifted up. You don't want to be, this bodily training has some value. Glory be to God. These are the seven attitudes. Hallelujah. The next week, we will be learning in the presence of God. We will be seeing seven things that needs to be opened, because there is a lot more to go. So here we learned the first number, seven, is the number of perfection. And there are seven attitudes, first of all, in the number seven, in a spiritual life. And one is lying down for spiritual rest, sitting down for instruction, standing up for spiritual warfare, walking for fellowship, running for progress, leaping with joy, mounting up for exaltation. These are the seven attitudes of spiritual life. Hallelujah. There are still more to go ahead. As the Lord leads, we will see that in the next week. So let's all pray, my brothers and my sisters. Let's all seek the Lord. Let's all look unto the Lord and tell the Lord, oh Lord, I want to test ourselves. Let's test ourselves and tell Lord, I realize that I'm not really walking spiritually, because your word clearly says if I'm walking spiritually, my attitude should always sit down for instruction. I will never hurry up. My attitude will always be lying down for spiritual rest. Lord, I will not be confused. I will not be in a confused state. Lord, if I'm really having a spiritual attitude, I will always be standing with spiritual warfare daringly and boldly, Father. I will never feel afraid of any enemy that's coming over my life. Father, if I have the attitude that you have in my spiritual life, I will walk for a good fellowship. I will not go into a fellowship where man has created and where man is dominating. Father, I will always run into the place of progress, where I will be not standing in the same place, but I'll grow up as your baby. Lord, if I have your attitude, I will leap with joy. I will, no matter what situation might be, I will always be joyful. I will never give up anything. And number seven, Father, if I'm your child, my attitude will be always spiritual exaltation. I want to be spiritually exalted in you, Father. I want to be growing up spiritually. I want my spiritual life to grow. So let's keep this in prayer. Let's ask the Lord. Let's seek the presence of God so that the Lord will lead us.